Father and the Son. Thank you, Lord, you've opened Thank you, Lord. I'm sorry, my internet connection was bad. 1 second. Amen. It's better. Oh, Lord. Yeah, it's wonderful that in a conference all the saints come together, the churches come together to search the Lord and to find Him. And in the very beginning, I want to say very generally, I want to say it is not about this universal unity of the Spirit. Of course, the Bible has this truth or this reality that all saints in the church belong to one body of Christ. But the unity in which the Lord has called us is not just this global unity we are called into, but it's the unity of the saints at the place where they live. It is the unity for what the Lord has given everything. It is a church which should be glorious. It should not have any bad spot or anything bad. Lord Jesus, bring us into this glory through this fellowship. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that this unity is nothing which is produced out of us, or which we have to produce, but we have, according to the word, the glory which the Son has received from the Father. I read John 17, verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Hallelujah for this unity. Yeah, today, yeah, the Lord takes us into this unity which He had with the Father, and they are still one. And into this unity, He wants to take us believers, so that we among us are one, as He is one with the Father. And in verse 40. In another verse, he says, you in me, and I in them, in verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Yeah, this unity, this practical, alive unity at the local church, in the practical church life, this is something where the world can see that the Father sent the Son and that the Father loves the world. And we all know this verse in John, in the Gospel of John. God loved His Son so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that everyone who believes in Him will not be lost, but yeah, will have eternal life. Praise the Lord. For that, the Father has given His Son. And brothers and sisters, I'm touched every time I read this. And if I think about this, and if I pray to the Father in prayer over this verse, Father, you have given your Son. You did not hold it back, but you gave your Son. Yeah, but not only for salvation from this bad world or our own evil being. Yeah, our salvation from death and sin and judgment or final judgment. Yeah, but yeah, all this the Lord did, but the goal should be that the world can see that the Father sent the Son in this, yeah, and the world should see this in this unity. So, this unity is something very special. And if we say that Jesus takes us into this unity, then there might be a lot of questions, like, how will he do that, and how can he do that, and how can we come into this unity? And I have this verse in John 14 verse 6. I picked this verse. I read it, or maybe someone else in the German language want to read it. John 14 verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Hallelujah. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this means this Jesus, the Son of God, this true man, who, yeah, expressed the Father, yeah, went through, yeah, made himself through this process of death and resurrection, so we can come to the Father. And it's my burden tonight that we will never think, yeah, I believe many years and I'm Christian for so many years, and Father, now I want to come to you and talk to you and have some fellowship with you. The word says, and Jesus says, I am the path to the Father. I am the way to the Father. We really need this deep realization that, yeah, we can come through Jesus to the Father, not through our own good behavior, or I'm in this religious group, or in the church, in this big church, and I was grown there, and now I have the freedom or the boldness to come to the Father. But the Father wants that we receive his Son, because if you look at it clearly, Jesus says, I am the way. And if he is the way, then there is no other way. And if Jesus says, I am truth, then there is no other truth next to him. He is personified truth from God, through God, and in God. And he is also the life. In all three parts, Jesus is the person which we need to have this way to the Father, to understand, yeah, the truth and to touch life. This seems for them who have read the Bible a lot to be very clear. nevertheless, I think it is so important in such a conference that we see this foundation. Yeah, that Jesus is speaking, I am the way. You know, this word, I am, it appeared in the Old Testament when Moses asked God, when he was sent to Pharaoh, who has sent me? What shall I say to him who has sent me? And the Lord told him, I am. I am the eternally existent, the eternal living. We all do not live eternally, but our God is eternal God. And he's a merciful God, a God full of grace. And we want to come to him. And if you want to come to him, we need Jesus. We need this wonderful person, Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to stay with this name, Jesus. In the same chapter, John 14, verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Yeah, but if you ask anything in my name, verse 14, I will do it. And verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he might abide with you forever. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him. Yeah, and then here we can see the Spirit of truth. Jesus is truth. And he sends this wonderful Spirit of truth, this helper, which will lead us in all truth. And he is the helper that may abide with you forever. After his death, Jesus rose up to the Father. But as he is saying himself, he did not leave us alone. He came back as this helper, as the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit who lives in us and leads us into this reality of the unity of the Father and the Son, so that we can experience this unity. It is not about the truth that the Father and the Son are one, are united, but it's about the truth and the reality and the experience that we, through this glory, which this resurrected Christ has given to us, that we can experience a unity which the world does not know. And for that he has given us his name. On the one hand, we see the work of Jesus, his death and resurrection, his life full of obstacles, full of attacks. But this did not stop him to go this way till the end, this path till the end, till his death on the cross. And I will read this verse in Philippians. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God, because he was obedient, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Praise the Lord for this wonderful name. He's not only a way for us. He's not only the truth for us. He is the life for us. But we have part on person through faith and through his name. Yeah, God has given Christ his name, which is over all names. And this name, just like Paul says in Ephesians, all spirits and powers are below him. This name helps us practically come to this aspect of unity, of this practical unity in the church, if everything is not working so nicely. How can I be saved in his name? Yeah, can be saved in his name. I pray, I turn to him, I call to him. Yeah, praise the Lord. I read in the word, in his word, and suddenly I see, hallelujah, his name is high above all the other names, over the situation. Lord Jesus, in your name I pray for me. Yeah, for my brother, for my sister, that we can have this unity which you have with the Father. The name Jesus is such a wonderful name of salvation. And starting in Acts, when the first disciples went out to preach the gospel, this name of Jesus is noted as this name of salvation. Let's read Acts 4, verse 12. Maybe someone can read this. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's no other name given to man in which we have to be saved. Not can be saved, but have to be saved. There's no other name. There's no other way. There's no other truth. There's no other life which we want other than this life of Jesus. Yeah, whenever I say, Lord Jesus, I will be saved. Whenever I say, Lord Jesus, you are my Lord, then I bow my knees in front of the Father. And I come to the Father. And then I have the three paths to the Father. Let's read this verse in Hebrews 2. Which is very precious. Hebrews 2, 9 and 10.
Wir sehen aber,
But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Amen. And these verses show us that this path the Lord took was very hard. And I think only he was qualified to go this path. But the goal was to bring many sons to glory. And he is, the captain of our salvation, who was perfected through suffering. For Jesus, it was a very hard, a very narrow path. But God really crowned him for this suffering, gave him glory and made him over all things, put him over all things. He's given us this way to have unity. I'm sorry, our connection broke up. Oh, Lord. He is our path. The Lord is our path to have fellowship with the Father. And for that, and also we need the Lord much more for the fellowship among us. Because it is really easy, or relatively easy, to come to the Father in faith and to say, praise the Lord. He has made me one with the Father. Jesus unified me with the Father. I believe that Jesus took away my sins, that I can come in front of the Father. Unify. I can leave my old man behind. That this unity, the unity which the Father and the Son have, is you saints from Russia, you are saved. Yeah, me too. And we can be unified through Jesus because we believe in him. But this test, if Jesus really can lead us to glory, is that if we in our practical church life serve our God, is the saints, and work together with the saints, and that we express in our daily church lives this Trinitarian God. Yeah. And then it shows if we have this unity. And I want to read verses in Ephesians where Paul is praying that we will be diligent to be unified. Ephesians 4. We should be unified. We need to be diligent to live the Lord, so we can display the unity of the Spirit. And this unity is characterized through 7 factors. It is one body and one spirit, as we are called for one, that it is Ephesians 4, starting at 4. There's one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And these factors of unity, we should be diligent to do that. And if we add something here, then the body is separated and split. In so many years in the life in Europe, where we experienced how precious it is to stand in this unity and to express this unity in the world. And I made the experience that this unity is in danger or lost if we hold a special teacher or a special teaching higher than these factors. And I think many saints did realize that this is not our unity. And we have to hold to this wonderful unity and this wonderful spirit and be diligent and working there. And his life has also brought us into a new creation. Is someone in Christ, there's a new creation. The old is gone and it has become new. Praise the Lord for this new creation which we have in the Spirit and in His name. Oh Lord Jesus. Amen. And in this Christ, in this unity, let me read in Galatians 5, Galatians 6, verse 14 and 15. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. The churches represent the new creation. There it is not according to some religious practice or some sacraments. Yeah, it is, there's the need that Jesus will be visible in us, and if we can experience and that the Lord is crucified with us, that we are crucified with Him, and that we are also crucified the world, and then we have this new creation, and we can live in this new creation. Praise the Lord. Amen. May the Lord give us this impression of this unity. Yeah, this unity which we are talking about is this unity of this wonderful Christ, the unity of the Spirit, the unity of, yeah, of this real, in reality existing body of God. And these churches stay till the end of Revelation, if we can see in Revelation. This I say to the churches. Yeah, praise the Lord, the churches do not stop. They go through different experiences, but they stay in the right hand of God. They stay under the and kingship of our God, and our Lord, who is also giving us everything we need for this unity. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, you've given us this unity which you have received from the Father, that we can have part of this unity. Praise the Lord. We've come together as the saints in Acts, and they were all together, and yeah, they live this wonderful oneness. We cannot read all these verses because of the time, but these verses in Acts are wonderful. They were together all the time in prayer, in breaking the bread, and in the fellowship of the epistle. And this is what we practice in the church life. And in that, we want to grow further. We want to increase. Yeah, we want to, be this church which not has one blemish, anything bad on it. Thank you, Lord, for your church and for the practical unity in the church. We need you and we search you because you are this guarantee for the unity. And now I will give the word to the beloved brother Matthias, who will talk further about this word.
Yes, Lord. We thank you. Thank you that you speak to us. It is so precious and wonderful when the living God is speaking. It is a precious time that we have. Oh, I'm really thankful. Lord, I'd rather see you all, but I'm still so thankful that the Lord still have a visible testimony on this earth. I want to go back very quickly to this point. So I want to say something to this point D in the outline. But still, I want to go back very quickly and emphasize that it is so wonderful that the Lord today is opening our eyes, that we can look at him, that we can see him, like we have read, that this veil that was above our heart, it is gone. And we can pray, Lord, take this veil away. I want to see you and reflect you. I think it's so precious that we've seen that God wants to be expressed and wants to have a testimony on this earth. He wants to be seen. I really appreciated this fact that the living, invisible God wants to be seen. And what is he doing then? He brings something to sight. He makes his creation. And also today, in this time of the new covenant, there's a new creation. And this new creation also wants to be seen. The Lord wants to be seen today through his body and wants to be expressed by his body today. Praise the Lord. This is such a high calling. May the Lord really open our eyes for that. And I also want to say again, it is not in our mind, not in the part of the teaching or rituals. It is in the Spirit. It's something the Lord wants to draw before our eyes, shows each one of us individually. And he wants to bring us into this unity. And I want to go back to this headline of today. Jesus includes us in this oneness. We've read in John, in this prayer of the Lord, when he prayed, Father, let everyone who believes be one, like the Son and the Father. This was a prayer of the Son. It was on his heart. And we've read already, and I want to say it again, this relationship between the Son and the Father was so wonderful, was never there before. It was a unity. They could not be parted. It is too big, too wonderful, but the word is telling it. And this should also be, and this is the unity that we have between us. And it also should be visible today between us. And I want to go to these points in the outline. The Lord is not only showing us a theory or a doctrine about something, but anything. No. The Lord is speaking to us. And the word of the Lord is the truth. And the Lord himself is the way and the truth and the life. And truth in this aspect also has the meaning reality. I want to read this with in John chapter 14. And for this background, Jesus said to him in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Lord is the way, and he is the truth, and he is the life. I want to read these verses in Acts chapter 11, verse 23. Maybe somebody can read it. It's 23-26. Acts 11:23-26. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Oh, only verse 23. This is this aspect that is really a burden on my heart. I think this verse is so wonderful. We've seen in Acts the church life started. People who have known Jesus, who heard his word, they believed. They believed that the work of Jesus was in truth, and they accepted that, and it brought them together. This worked, this unity in us. And it says that all those who believed, they were one heart and one soul. And this was through the Spirit of life, who is the foundation of this unity. In these verses, it is about Antiochia. There were some people, some believers, and they met together, and this was the place where they first were Christians. So this shows us that it was seen that they belonged to Christ. It was revealed those know Jesus, who was the way, truth, and life. That was their expression before the world, before the people around them. They saw, oh, those people, we have to give them a name. They are Christians. They belong to Christ, to Jesus. What kind of people were they in chapter 2? What do we read then? Chapter 4, verse 13. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this really is a burden for me, to me, that the speaking of the Lord to us, what we read in the Bible, what we've heard so many years in the church life maybe, the Lord wants it, wants to reveal it and bring it, make it visible in our life. And for this, we need this purpose of heart. In Acts 11, verse 23, there were brothers and sisters, and there was an encouragement by Barnabas. He went there and he encouraged them all that there was purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. And I think it's so important that we make this decision in our heart. We belong to Jesus. And maybe we're one, we've already made this decision one time in the past, but it is something we can do again. It is so important that we do not follow a man, not things in this world, but to follow and to continue with the Lord. And I really appreciated that our God leaves this decision to us. He gave a free will to us. God has put man into this garden and he said, you can eat from all trees but not from this one. When you the day you eat from this tree, you will die. He did not cover up this tree, but he said, just don't eat from it. Eat from the tree of life. It was the decision of of Adam from what tree he should eat. And we see it in Deuteronomy, chapter 30. But the word is very... The word is very near to us. The word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. The word is very near to us, but it is also my task to express it. In the place where I am, in the locality where I am, it is so important to make this decision in our heart. We all have this responsibility in our location. In verse 15 it says, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil." God has set it before man. He did not make this decision for man, but he gives the decision to us. Choose life or don't choose life. And in verse 19, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses to you today against you, and I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." It is about life. In Genesis, it is the tree of life. Here, it is choose the life. And in the New Testament, it's Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." It is so necessary that we choose the life, that we make the decision for life. In many situations, when we come together in a meeting, what do we choose? Do we choose to stay in our mind, in our thoughts, in our sorrows? Or do we choose, "Oh, I want to get more knowledge now from the word"? Or do we choose life? I'm encouraged. I want to choose the life. And who or what is this life? It is the Lord himself. Choose him. There is this song for children. Choose in every situation Jesus. This really is my burden. To emphasize this. There are so many verses that also God really treasures it when we choose him. And here it is written in the outline, a landmark decision. It really is a landmark decision. In Acts chapter 2, the brothers made known the good message from Jesus. Not only from Jesus, they also stood there as this testimony of the unity. In unity, they had this desire that the church may be built up. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, so many people there heard this word, and now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Praise the Lord. And Peter then said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Praise the Lord. The word were cut to their heart. It really touched them. We say today a lot, this word touches me. Yes, it's good. The Lord touches us, but it does not stop there. It should not stop there. when the word or the Lord just only touch our heart, that has a healing effect, but it also should bring a reaction in us. We should tell the Lord, thank you that you spoke to me, and now what should I do now? We should not be so just diligent to do something. This is not the building up of the church. Do not understand it in a wrong way, but I think it's such a precious question. What shall we do? And then Peter said to them what they should do. And they let themselves be baptized, and they made this landmark decision. My life now belongs to Jesus. This really is so precious. So faith and baptism does not only express that we believe, but baptism also means that we are put into him, that we are included in this oneness, in this relationship from Father and Son, and that we are also be put into his body. This is a wonderful fact, that the faith and baptism, in my experience, and I also think from many others, maybe also from brothers and sisters who were grown up in this context of the church life. It's very important that we make this landmark decision for the Lord. That it is important. It is important for me, Lord. I want to give you my life. I want to give you my heart. I want to be found in you. I want it not to be just any truth, something I just believe. I want, Lord, please let it grow in me. Such a landmark decision also preserves us from many compromises with the world. It holds us back from making compromise with the religion. There's only one way who leads to life, which is, who is the Lord? And this landmark decision wants to be expressed in our daily life. In Colossians chapter 2, it says, verse 6 and 7, verse 6, which has come to you, chapter 2, I'm sorry. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. In his resurrection, God, Jesus, made this foundation that we can say now, I am in Christ, and I also want to walk in him. This is something what we should and really have to practice every day. Lord, I walk in you. Maybe there is an obstacle, or and we see, oh, Lord, now I do not see the way. But we can say in a daily decision, Lord, I am in you. This really is also precious for the church life. Maybe when we do not like the brothers and sisters, then they are not like we want them to be. But we see, Lord, not only I am in you, but also the brothers and sisters, the saints around me are in you. We are brothers. And in Romans chapter 8, The Lord is very happy when he is not the only one who went through death and resurrection. In Romans chapter 8, it says in verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I'm so thankful for the many brethren, for the many saints at my locality. I'm encouraged. And be also encouraged to encourage others to make this decision, this purpose of heart. Everybody of us needs encouragement because the Lord wants to preserve our hearts for this expression of and testimony of the oneness, the expression of the oneness of the Father and Son, and also between us. It's already a little bit late, but I have one point on my heart that really came so important to me. Because help for us could be the Word. I've read there that coming to the Word is also a decision. You can make this decision, come to the Lord and come to the Word and to the Lord. How do I start the my day? Do I start it with my sorrows or with my work? There are so many options. Make the decision to come to the Word. And not only just the word in form of the letters. This brings death. In Luke, there is this image. The Lord shows us this man building a house. And we all build something in our life. In Luke chapter 6, verse 47, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house. And what did he do then first? Who dug deep. He dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Praise the Lord. I want to be such a man. Firstly, dug deep. Come to the Lord firstly. Take time. Make this decision. Come to the Lord. Come to the Word. Maybe it's not the most wonderful work to dug deep. Maybe I would like to build a house, a nice house first. But this man, he made the decision to dug deep. And not anywhere, but on the rock. This is also a good image about for our coming to the Word. We come to the Lord. This makes us steadfast. And this Christ is also the foundation for the building up of the church. For this, maybe we've said it to the Lord already. Maybe we know it in our head, in our mind. But it's good to tell it the Lord. Thank you that you have included me in this oneness. Thank you that you've brought me in this locality where I am. That the brothers and sisters are there. I want to build up with them. I want to be useful. Work in me where I'm not useful for you. Such a prayer is really precious to the Lord, I think. I've put there the Psalm 132, where the psalmist prays because he saw that God wants to have a dwelling place. He said, God wants to have a house, but there is no house for the Lord. And then he says, I will not give sleep to mine eyes, or slumber to my eyelids. This should be a decision in our heart. Make this decision for the building up of the church. There is really a blessing on this decision. And praise the Lord, it is the Lord who works in us. This is my last point on the outline. God does not look for people who are very strong in their mind. We can also come to Him with our with the knowledge that we cannot do anything. And in Philippians 2, verse 13, says we can also come to Him and say, I do not know. It has to do with this decision in our heart that everybody needs to make before the Lord. And by this, the Lord can bring forth the church, which is so glorious. This is such a wonderful testimony. I want to stop now. Maybe we have a little bit more time to have fellowship.